Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Balava Giribada Hari Jaya. Gopi Jana Balava Giribada Hari Jasoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana. Jasoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Banachari. Jamuna Tira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Om Vishnupad, Padamahansa, Padi Bhajakacharya, Astra Tara Satashri, Shiman, His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Ananta Koti, Vaishnava Vrinda, Ki Jai, Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur, Ki Jai, Prem Shikaho, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita, Bhaktivinda Ki Jai, Sri Sri Radha Shamasundar Gopa Gopinath, Shamakund, Radhakund, Giri Govardhan Ki Jai, Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Mathura Dham Ki Jai, Navadweep Dham Ki Jai, Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai, Jagannath Swami Ki Jai, Jamuna Mai Ki Jai, Ganga Mai Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Srimati Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhaktivinda Ki Jai, Gopremanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namani. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nivishesha Sunyavadi Pastyacha De Satarine. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Gaur Premanandi. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto. We're on almost the last verse. There's one more verse after this in this chapter 23, Devahuti's Lamentation. Today is verse number 56. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
We can chant this together if you choose. Narayanam Namaskritjam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayet Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naistaki. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should first offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human beings, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and Srila Prabhupada, who kindly translated and commentated on it so that we could understand what it's all about. By regular attendance and classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering service unto the pure devotees, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as something that can never be taken away. Hare Krishna. So, 56. Nehayat karma dharmaya. Nehayat karma dharmaya. Naviragaya kalpate. Naviragaya kalpate. Natirta pada sevayai. Natirta pada sevayai. Jivanapi mrito hi saha. Jivanapi mrito hi saha. Nehayat karma dharmaya. Naviragaya kalpate. Natirta pada sevayai. Jivanapi mrito hi saha. Please chant Hare Krishna. Dehayat karma dharmaya. Naviragaya kalpate. Natirta pada sevayai. Jivan api mrito hi saha. Nehayat karma dharmaya. Naviragaya kalpate. Natirta pada sevayai. Jivan api mrito hi saha. Nehayat karma dharmaya. Naviragaya kalpate. Natirta pada sevayai. Jivan api mrito hi saha. Nehayat karma dharmaya. Naviragaya kalpate. Natirta pada sevayai. Jivan api mrito hi saha. Nehayat karma dharmaya. Naviragaya kalpate. Natirta pada sevayai. Jivan api mrito hi saha. Na, not. Iha, here. Yat, which. Karma, work. Dharmaya, for perfection of religious life. Na, not. Viragaya, for detachment. Kalpate, leads. Na, not. Tirthapada, of the Lord's lotus feet. Sevayai, to devotional service. Jivan, living. Api, although. Mritaha, dead. He, indeed. Saha, he. The translation and the purport by Srila Prabhupada, but first I'm going to offer my respects. Om Agina Timidandasya, Ginanjana Salakaya, Chaksu Umilitam Jaina, Tasmai, Sri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and Srila Prabhupada very kindly forced my eyes open with the torchlight of knowledge. That leaves a debt in my heart to Srila Prabhupada that can never be paid back. But I'm going to try and try and try and try and try and try and try with your blessings. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So here's the translation. This is a really important verse. Anyone whose work is not meant to elevate him to religious life. Anyone whose religious ritualistic performances do not raise him to renunciation. And anyone situated in renunciation that does not lead him to devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead must be considered dead, although he's breathing. So it's a progression. 4 points are being made here. Let's repeat it so it goes a little deeper together. Anyone whose work is not meant to elevate him to religious life, Anyone whose religious ritualistic performances do not raise him to renunciation, and anyone situated in renunciation that does not lead him to devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, must be considered dead, although he's breathing. So what's the goal that's mentioned in this verse? Thank you. Keep breathing and keep doing bhakti. That everything is meant for developing our bhakti. Thank you. Okay, so here's Srila Prabhupada's purport. As you're all very familiar, we've heard this story in the setting many times, so I'm kind of not going to emphasize the setting so much, but it's a verse by Devahuti. So Devahuti's statement is that since she was attached to living with her husband for sense gratification, which does not lead to liberation from material entanglement, her life was simply a waste of time. Now, with respect, I'd like to actually mention that Devahuti's life wasn't a waste of time. She's giving us an example. Srimad Bhagavatam, the stories in the Bhagavatam, they give us an example to teach us different things in different ways. Sometimes they teach us what not to do. Sometimes they teach us what to do. But ultimately, the thing is that there all these episodes that are mentioned in the Bhagavatam, and especially this one with Kardama Muni and Devahuti, they're highly, highly elevated souls. And they're acting, or they're acting out something for our better, for our example to learn from. So Devahuti's statement is basically that she was wasting her time because she was associating with her husband for sense gratification. But as has been mentioned many times, because Kardama Muni was such a highly elevated great soul, association, as we've heard, and it's our aspiration and our hope, and it's probably why we're here, is because somehow or other we got the association of Srila Prabhupada, either directly physically for a few of us, but even for those of us who've come in contact with him through his works, through his books, and through his associates and his disciples. That association ultimately with great liberated personalities like that, whose sole aim in life is bhakti, is always, always, always very beneficial. Even if it doesn't manifest right immediately on the contact with Srila Prabhupada, it's always beneficial. That was a little bit towards the end of yesterday's class and discussion too, that it's not, even if the bhakti piety doesn't manifest right away, because as in the verse that we cited, we chanted right before the class, that the bhakti is established as an irrevocable fact. It can never, that little bit that we do can never be taken away from us. The results can never be taken away. Even if we stumble and fall and deviate a tad here and there or deviate a whole lot, still the credit of performing any devotional service, of hearing the holy name or doing any devotional service, is always there with the jiva, and it will just keep accumulating until it manifests in full-blossomed devotional service or attempt for devotional service and perfection. So, okay, so Devahuti is presenting herself that she wasted her time, and now here's a little explanation. Any work one performs that does not lead to a state of religious life is useless activity. Another statement that we get used to hearing as we've been around in Krishna consciousness for a while, but it's a pretty heavy statement. You know, any work that a person is doing that's not leading him to devotional service is a waste of time. So when you analyze that, why is it some people are doing, you know, great things, feeding people, saving whales, you know, trying to stop this problem and trying to stop that exploitation, and they're putting huge amounts of endeavor and money in it and such and such. Is that a waste of time? If it doesn't, yes, thank you. If it doesn't lead to devotional service, yes, it's a waste. It could be a stepping stone. It could be a stepping stone to make more progress. But if they don't take the next step and the next step and the next step, then it's considered a waste of time. Why waste of time? It's actually even more than a waste of time, you know, in that sense of there's reaction. Feeding the whales, whatever, you know, whatever the cause is, there's reaction to that. And that action and reaction. Here in this verse, the word karma is translated as action, but karma has many nuances to it. It also means the reaction to the activity, the reaction. And what is that reaction to activities that are not in devotional service? Entangling. And what is the result of entangling? Degraded consciousness. And what is the result of degraded consciousness? Degraded consciousness means that the doer, that living entity, that jiva, performs more sinful activities and gets more degraded and more entangled and suffers longer and longer. Sheesh, Hare Krishna. So, summed up here, it says, any work one performs that does not lead to a state of religious life is useless activity. So religious life is a step on the progress, on the path. And this is, again, the beauty and fullness of the Vedic literatures, and specifically the beauty and the fullness of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is not rejecting pious activities. It's not rejecting analytical study of the nature of the Absolute Truth. It's not rejecting different processes of making step forward. But it's highly emphasizing the different results one gets from those things, the gradual process, etc., etc., or the immediate process. In our Bhakti Shastri courses, when we're doing the first six chapters of the Bhagavad Gita, we talk about, middle six chapters of the Bhagavad Gita, we talk about the Prabhupada elevator, the concept of the Prabhupada elevator. One can make gradual process by doing good karma. One can make progress doing different things. But that progress in other activities that are not directly bhakti yoga is very gradual. And it might alleviate some of the suffering that the living entity is going through. It might alleviate that, and so there might be some sense of peace or happiness or whatever, but it doesn't last, and unless it leads one further, the results are very slow, and one gets the results of different mistakes they make or different offshoots of activities that they do that aren't related to bhakti. Everyone is by nature inclined to some sort of work. And when that work leads one to religious life, and religious life leads one to renunciation, and renunciation leads one to devotional service, one attains the perfection of work. So in and of itself, those steps, if you stop at the step, the second step, if your activities lead you to religious life and you stop there, religious life, thinking you've made it, you have made it to a certain extent. We give credit to that, but it's not complete unless your religious life leads you to what? Vairagya, renunciation. Renunciation of what? The attitude that I'm the enjoyer. Somehow or other, that attitude, that ahamkara, that sense of I, me, and mine, I'm the center and I'm the enjoyer, it's not a small obstacle to overcome. We've had it for millions and untold millions and ashankata, countless millions of lifetimes. And whatever lifetime we were in, whatever form we were in, whether we were American or whether we were a Martian or whether we were a worm or whether we were this or that, whatever, we always thought, that's who I am. And that is like, sometimes I can't remember what I've said in last classes, so if you remember that I'm saying the same thing, sorry. But anyway, back in the old days when we used to have cameras that had film in them, you know, and you'd take your picture, that wasn't good enough just to take the picture, click on the picture. You had to move the film manually with your hands, oh my God, and push it to the next film so that you wouldn't, what was called double exposure, you wouldn't take another picture on the same negative and have a double exposure and have no picture, just a blurry blob. So that concept of double exposure, that we're thinking that I'm the body when I was a dog, when I was a Martian, when I was who knows where, you know, that still is there subtly in the mind, subtly somewhere back in space. And that reminds me of Sobari Muni. why was it that Sobari Muni was so elevated in renunciation, in austerities, in searching after the absolute truth, that he wanted no contact with material, you know, distraction. So he thought, perfect place, I'll go underwater. And underwater, he got entangled, unfortunately, for a little bit anyway. The fishes and this and that, and then I won't even go into the Garuda thing. But anyways, and seeing the fishes copulate somehow or other, it reminded him of previous, probably life's engagements, you know. Some previous pleasure that he felt from doing that activity, and his meditation was broken. So those impressions are there. They might not be on the surface sometimes, but they rise, just like Prabhupada gives the example in the Gita of the mind is like a placid, or sometimes not so placid, but a placid lake. But on the bottom of that lake is the fermentation, you know, the what I'm saying, the dirty thoughts and dirty remembrances of what, and what are those remembrances based on? What made me happy and what didn't give me pleasure. So those remembrances of, again, the fundamental misidentification is I'm thinking that I'm the center of the universe. I'm thinking I'm the center and everything has to please me. Oh, we were just, during greeting of the deities, we were noting that we all have these little habits. You know, somebody comes in and sees Prabhupada's bee bag in this way and they don't like it and they adjust it. That's okay, nothing wrong with that. And someone comes in and sees the flower tray in a different position and they adjust it. You know what I mean? I'm like that all the time. Oh, what should be like? Why? Because I'm thinking I'm the center as opposed to Krishna. But anyway, point being that the major message, one of the major messages of Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's the qualified Supreme Enjoyer. He's unlimited in his opulences, and he's kind and loving and et cetera, et cetera. We're all his parts and parcels. And as soon as I developed that mentality, it just sprouted up one day, even though, you know, that I thought, I want to be separate. I don't want to just, like, worship Krishna. I want to be the center. Then that turning the back on Krishna brought about so many countless years of entanglement in material life that never really gets to the core happiness. Never really gets to the core happiness. I'll go on with the purport. Hare Krishna. Okay, so... Now I just thought of something. Okay, so the verses, the four lines of the verse. Karma, neha yat karma dharmaya. So actions should lead to dharma, should lead to pious activities. Actions should lead one to religious life. But if your religious life doesn't lead you to the second line, na viragaya kalpate. If your religious life or your pursuit of religious life doesn't lead you to a sense of renunciation, that this world isn't where I belong. I actually belong with my Lord and in service to him and loving service. If it doesn't, so if your works don't lead you to religious life, and if your religious life doesn't lead you to renunciation, and if your renunciation doesn't lead you to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to bhakti, then it's just like we're dead bodies. Amazing. And somehow or other, another important lesson of Bhagavatam is that everything is planned by the Lord. There's a perfect plan in place. And Krishna's the supreme controller. And it's not by my inventing some process that I can be happy, or I can invent some process for others to be happy also. None of that speculation is the ultimate goal. Krishna has a plan. And if I act according to his plan, if the jiva acts according to his plan in devotional service, then everything is fine. And as we deviate from the plan of the Lord, trying to become happy by what? Material advancement and technological development, et cetera, without Krishna at the center, then we have welcome to the material world. Welcome to 2026, you know. people looking for a place, a peaceful place to live. They can't even find a peaceful place to live anymore. You know, this country is fighting with that country. We won't go into all of those things. But, you know, even just living and maintaining oneself in Kali Yuga is a huge endeavor. I remember years and years and years back when Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj was here and gave a class, one very nice class. He said one of the symptoms of Kali Yuga is that it's so difficult, it's such a strain just to maintain oneself. For the old people in the room, we can remember back when we were kids, some of it was before electricity was invented, but some of it was a little bit after electricity was invented. But, you know, you had your mother and your father. They stayed together, and the father worked, and the mother stayed and took care of the kids, and life went on, et cetera, et cetera. Not the perfection of life, but it was, you know, simpler to maintain, you know. Now, it's, you know, you need a dry erase board. Who's with who? You know, erase that one. No, now they're with that one. Now the kids are over here. No, the kids are over there. Now two people have to work. The kids are in daycare. Now, you know, it's just so complicated. So complicated. And the result is the higher pay, is the more convenience, is the remote making our life easier? Only superficially, only if you don't look below the surface. It's all miserable. Anyway, back here. Okay. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, any work that does not lead ultimately to the standard of devotional service is a cause of bondage in the material world. And that we've been saying. And so here's from the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 3.9. Yagyartha karmano nyatra lokoyam karma bandhanaha. Krishna, he spells this out millions of years ago. He spells, unless one is gradually elevated to the position of devotional service, beginning from his natural activity. So this is referring to Varnashram, the natural activity, the natural proclivities. Different people have a more simplistic lifestyle simply by their labor. They're maintaining themselves. Some people are more, you know, have that kshatriya nature, and they're administrating and organizing and protecting, and they're allowed and encouraged to work in that way. Some people have a studious nature, intellectual nature. They're encouraged to work in that way. But not just work in that way. Work in that way. Take the work that you're doing, your natural inclination that you have toward this activity or that activity, and take it and bring it to the lotus feet of the Lord. And that's what we have the honor or the privilege of doing in the process of bhakti. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, all those nine processes of devotional service lead one to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. And someone might be inclined more to Shravanam, someone might be inclined and more expert at Kirtanam, someone might be inclined, there's so much variety of ways to engage the mind and the senses and the desires in Krishna's service. And ultimately, again, gradually, but for sure, leads one to the lotus feet of the Lord. Whereas all the other gradual processes one might do that are outside the realm of devotional service will gradually lead one to more suffering, no matter how much they present something different in the beginning. Work which does not lead one to the understanding of Krishna consciousness is considered useless. And somehow or other, it's something that the phenomena is that somehow or other, these great timeless truths that are elaborated in Srimad Bhagavatam, they take a while for us to digest. They take a while for us to understand the nuances of it. And as the saying goes, sometimes youth is wasted on the young. So when you're young and energetic, and you're thinking, I'll do this, and then that way I'll have, you know, extra time, and then I'll go to kirtans, or I'll do this or that or whatever, chant, you know. But oftentimes, not 100% of the time, but oftentimes the I'll do this takes so much more time than you thought it was going to do. and takes much more endeavor than you thought, and takes much more whatever, you know. Your consciousness gets changed by that. And even though the intention was, I'll do this and then I'll be able to engage in devotional service more proficiently, more this or more that. But oftentimes it's a distraction. And somehow or other, as the days go by, and as I've been distracted so many times thinking, oh, I'll do this and then I'll come back and do that devotional service, and seeing it over and over again, how the more my thought is on something that's not directly related with devotional service, my thoughts and actions are more not directly related with devotional service, the more they affect my consciousness, the more they deviate me from the path and bring ultimate dissatisfaction. And you learn that as the days go by, and now we're old and can't do hardly very much. But anyway, for those of you that are intelligent out there, please take heart. And for those of us, for myself and others who missed a lot of opportunities, not to worry, because we'll have more chance to do it again as we go along. But since I haven't said this part in a long time, my favorite sentence in Srila Prabhupada's books, and I'm sure some of you know what it is in the Nectar of Instruction, in the third verse, in the purport, towards the end of the purport, Prabhupada says, the process of bhakti is so pure and perfect that once having begun, one is dragged to ultimate success. So there's always, always, always hope in devotional service. We might be deficient or in so many ways and aspiring to improve ourselves in so many ways. And there's never any loss in that process of bhakti. We get to always improve. And the point being, stay in the association of devotees so that we can be watched over by happy, concerned personalities. So there was one little story that came up just in my reading just yesterday that applies to this verse that I'm going to tie in. So this verse is saying, anyone who's I'll do the whole verse. Anyone whose work is not meant to elevate him to religious life. So if your work is elevating you to your religious life, then you're making progress. And anyone whose religious ritualistic performances do not raise him to renunciation. So that means even more progress. Renunciation and actual real disinterest. Renunciation implies a certain attitude. Sometimes anyway. I want to do it, but I'm not going to do it because I know that it's not going to lead to good result. But there's another type of, but even further than that type of renunciation is, I don't want to do it. It's not interesting. There's not even a pull. So in that regard, there was a story that I just read yesterday in Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj's book on Queen Kunti's prayers called Healing Prayers, his book. So he's going through Queen Kunti's prayers, and he's making a certain point, but it applies to this point. So he's recounting a story from the Mahabharata that one day Sukadev Goswami was invited by Janak Maharaj, the king of Mathila, not necessarily the Janak Sita, father of Sita, but anyway, a king of Mathila, to come and speak some discourses in his palace. And because that King Janak was very pious there and devoted and religious, there were many sages that would always be in the palace, you know, making different discourses. So Sukadev Goswami came to speak to the king on his invitation, and the other sages were interested and also attended. But the sages started to get a little agitated after a while of noting that Sukadev Goswami was just focusing in on the king. He didn't even look at the other people in the room. He was just focusing in on the king. And they started to think, just like I would think, oh, why is he doing that? Well, maybe he wants a donation from the king and he's trying to butter him up. You know, they just thought it. But Sukadeva Goswami, by his mystic potencies, he could understand what they were feeling. He said, Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj said, the sage's thoughts were very audible to Sukadeva Goswami. And it amused him, and it also pained him at the same time that they were thinking like that. So he thought, let me do something to stop that thought trail that they're having so that they don't commit offenses and get in trouble from that. So by his mystic potency, he created a sensation of that the palace was about to start to burn up. So acrid smoke was coming in the windows, big thick clouds of smoke were coming in the windows, and the sages were getting like freaking out, you could say, in our terms. They were freaking out, and they started to run to the window, and they looked, and they could see this fire coming. It was burning the whole of Mithila, and it was coming towards the palace of King Janak. And they thought, and it was burning everything, burning all the homes, burning the ashrams, burning the sages' huts. They could see their little huts were being burned up. And they all started thinking, oh, my hut. Not all of them. Some of them thought, oh, my hut is burning up. Oh, my one set of cloth over there is going to be burned. What about my deer skin? They all started to run and try to save their possessions. And after a few minutes, Sukadev, he dissipated the illusion. In the meantime, Sukadev's speaking to Janak Maharaj. And Janak Maharaj is totally focused in on what Sukadev goes on. He doesn't even move. He doesn't even blink. And he says, Janak Maharaj says, a very famous quote says, all of Mithila can burn, but nothing of mine will burn. So he was totally fixed that he's a spirit soul. He's a servant of Krishna. I don't belong here. Nothing's mine. Nirmama, everything belongs to Krishna. And the sages who had their works had led them to the religious life over a period of time. Their religious life had led them to severe types of renunciation. But there was still a mentality of I, me, and mine. My deer skin, my this, my that. And therefore, they were highly disturbed. So when Sukadev just dispelled the illusion and they realized, oh, it isn't real. Oh, I was so upset. But oh, Janak Maharaj is totally absorbed. Yes, he is more advanced. And they also realized, I've been making a little offense here at Sukadev Goswami. I better watch out. In other words, the point being that even in highly advanced cases, it's not just a question of being highly advanced per se or externally. It's being highly advanced internally and understanding Krishna is the Supreme Lord. He's my well-wisher. This Lord Brahma, Tate Nukampam Sushamikshamano, 14, is it the 14th chapter or the 13th verse? 8th chapter 14 or 14:8? 14:8, thanks. 14th chapter. In the 14th chapter of the 10th canto, Lord Brahma says, Tate Nukampam Sushamikshamano, something good is happening to me by Krishna's arrangement. I'm realizing that he's so kind. I don't really deserve this good thing, but he's so kind. He's giving me something. He's giving me this happiness. And something bad, some trouble, anxiety, whatever problem is happening. It's not that I feel like, I'm a devotee. I tried my whole life. Why is this happening? No. The realization is, I've been in this material world for hundreds and billions of years. And Krishna, and I don't deserve this bad thing. It's true. I deserve worse. The different mentality is tweaked a little bit. I don't deserve this suffering. I deserve a lot worse. And they can happily navigate through those difficulties by having their minds fixed on the ultimate goal, on bhakti. To the Lord's lotus feet. So those are a few thoughts on that. If there's some discussion or correction or complaint. Okay, that side of the room seems to win this time, so far anyway.
Thank you, Madhavananda. Hare Krishna. Wonderful class. Prabhu, the process is not like black and the process is not like black and white. It's a gradual process. So it's not like one day we'll wake up and, hey, I'm renounced, I'm a pure right. devotee. So these things are going on, like they said, the first step, you know, if blah, blah, blah. But how do we measure it? I mean, is there a way to, like if we want to improve our situation? Say, for example, let me see, I dress the deities. So if I'm dressing these, to make that service more valuable, to come to the goal, you know, is there some specific point you can...
Well, let me just say this and then make sure I answer your question. When you first started off saying it's a gradual process, my mind immediately went to the fact that, yes, it is a gradual process, but unless we actually are fixed on what the goal is, then it can be very gradual. Okay, so that's where I went first. So one, how to measure, how to improve, or what the measurement, I would think that, when you, Prabhupada says, when you start a sentence, I would think you should end it in the closet. So I'm going to go in the closet now. So I would think that the sign of improvement is the more we're becoming attached to the nine processes of devotional service, the more we're attached to hearing and chanting and speaking about the Lord and all engaging in the service, that's a sign that we're making progress. It doesn't necessarily mean that the way I'm dressed, you know, because you mentioned specifically about dressing the deities, it doesn't necessarily mean that the way I'm dressing the deities is more and more dramatic or this or that, but it means I'm just attached to serving. You know, I'm attached to the service. I'm attached to different services. I'm attached to serving Krishna and Srila Prabhupada to my best ability. And just, again, another flash, a thought flash came in. Just like Lord Brahma, when Lord Brahma woke up to his consciousness on the lotus flower and had to, couldn't remember the process of creation, how to do it, so he had to perform tapasya. He tried by his own methods to figure out his source, but then he realized he had to do tapasya. Everything wasn't, a lot was revealed to him. The process is a process of revelation. Our process of bhakti is a process of revelation. We make our endeavor, but it's by Krishna revealing things in the heart. Realized knowledge becomes a fact. Not everything was revealed to Brahma at that one time. So much was, but it's a gradual process and more. So by doing, again, specifically because you mentioned dressing the deities, because by having that attitude of I want to improve, I want to do it with more love, Krishna will, he'll reveal. He is revealing, you know, gradually.
Yeah, thank you. Well, the point you mentioned is, you know, you're thinking the point is you're thinking, oh, I shouldn't be doing this. You know, you're consciously thinking, you know, and sometimes you're thinking, that's just mentally, you're thinking, oh, I shouldn't be doing this I should remember Krishna like this. So the realization, your vijnana is not there, but you're trying to say, okay, I shouldn't be doing this, I should be doing it like this.
Right.
So by doing that, a realization will come?
Yes, gradually. And not to forget that the thought that I shouldn't be doing it, that's progress. That's progress, too. You know, because years ago, that thought didn't even enter in the mind. You know, or there, you know, we just thought we should do anything we felt like. So we're making progress, but it's taking a while. Any other comments to add to that point or that question? Okay. We'll pile the questions on from that side and we'll get the answers over here.
So I was thinking, if one's work doesn't lead to religious life,
mm-hmm.
then that progression can't even continue. Can you give an example of one's work leading to religious life? Let me jump to another part of it, is that I see many devotees, they're working, but they give some fruits of their labor In devotional service?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's like jumping over all the sequence here. They go right to renunciation, if you want to say. They're renouncing the fruits.
Uh-huh.
But then when it just comes to, let us say, maybe one of our children who's kind of not here, but they're working, how does one lead to religious life and do the progression? Or is it just tithe?
What was the last thing? It's just time?
Tithing. Just encourage tithing.
Tithing. Okay. I didn't know if you said time or tithing. Well, so let's say a person has some children, or, you know, a child who's not, like, exhibiting pure devotional service symptoms in this stage of his life. I don't know. Maybe there's one or two that are like that, you know. But what leads him to that person to religious life? He goes to his mother and she says, come, here's some prasadam, and she stuffs it in his mouth. And so it doesn't mean that he or she changes all their activities just by that prasadam, but by that prasadam, it's changing them. By coming, you know, or by hearing the Hare Krishna mantra, even casually, it's changing them. So it is leading. I'm also in the same boat. We have the tendency to think, yeah, but it's not changing fast enough, you know? I mean, this child isn't exhibiting pure devotional service just yet. But that's our conception of time. And it is a long time. 30 years is a long time. But 30 years is nothing, you know? And every mouthful of prasadam, every Hare Krishna mantra, every this, every that, that's directly related to devotional service, is accumulating. And what's going to help anybody is the crushing force of the time, you know? And again, we started the class how youth is wasted on the young. So, you know, you have the strength and the ability and the desire to do this and do that and run the triathlon and whatever, you know. And the crushing force of the time factor will be there. And gradually, when their knees give way and the this and the that and they can't run the triathlon or whatever, the possibility that the results will of devotional service, agyata sukriti, even unknowingly, will blossom and fructify and lead them. So ultimately, it is leading them to devotional service, but just, you know, according to us, not fast enough. But that's another, Ananda has, you might as well, because then you won't have to walk so many times. Sorry.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mananda. I have a question about when Sukadeva Goswami put that illusion in the sage.
Oh, yeah.
That he did also to the king or not?
He did it. The king could see the illusion also. Is that your question? The king could see the smoke and this and that, but he wasn't disturbed. So the king and everybody in the room could see were under the influence of that illusory smoke and the burning. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
Did I catch that?
Yeah,
okay.
That was
it. Yeah. But the king wasn't, he was fixed in consciousness on the Supreme Lord.
Mm. Okay.
In the early days, Brahmananda wanted to quit work. And Srila Prabhupada said, no, don't quit work. You work and you give the results of your work to Krishna. And Brahmananda said, how do I give it to Krishna? Prabhupada said, give it to me and I'll give it to Krishna.
Yeah. Thanks for that.
So who should we give our money to? Who's going to give it to Krishna?
Should give it to Vrindavan.
Okay. Give it to Vrindavan. We'll give it to Krishna.
Oh, that too. Yes, specifically. Okay. Sita D, you have, are you going to? No? Okay.
I really like that verse. I'm going to try to memorize it.
The Bhagavatam verse?
Yeah, today's verse.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking ultimate goal.
You'll have it memorized by the end of the day, and some of us after 50 years will probably.
Ultimate goal and immediate goal, both has to go side by side. Because this verse gives immediate goal.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking Bhakta Charles, you know he was with us in the ashram. He used to do delivery.
Amazon, yeah.
And Mother Samapriya Dwamar, yes. Every time he would give some prasadam.
Yes.
He had no clue, but some or other.
Yes.
And then he got a book, and then he studied, and then he joined to the ashram, and then he got initiated, now he's chanting. And
yes.
So this is so correct, the way Prabhupada put step by step, that karma leads to religion, religion leads to vairagya or viraga, detachment, and then should lead to the bhakti. This is beautiful.
Very beautiful.
I think every grihastha should keep that as a
on your window, on your refrigerator.
Yeah. Immediate goal. Well, ultimate goal is Krishna prem, but this immediate goal is so exciting.
That, and also too, that's why we have to actually have what our ultimate goal is. We have to be convinced what our ultimate goal is. Even our ultimate goal isn't love of God. Per se, okay. I'm gonna edit that. Okay, don't worry. Our ultimate goal is love of Krishna, unalloyed love for Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. Because I mean, there are other great places to go to, like Kunta, this place, so many places. But our ultimate goal, especially in the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition, that is Goloka Vrindavan, serving Radha and Shyamasundar in Goloka Vrindavan. And with that as an ultimate goal, then so many things can be traversed. Thank you. Oh, Sridhidi. Hare Krishna.
So we're talking about kids, right?
Kids.
Yeah, our dopey kids can't get it together.
Some dopey kids who can't get it together. I'm just quoting Sridhidi Muni.
Yeah.
So they go on the bus tour when they're young, like, you know, 14 or 15, and then one of the stops on the bus tour, aside from all the Ratha Yatras, are the redwood forest in California, and they buy a redwood tree, and they come back to Alachua, and they plant a redwood tree in the temple, and it's growing so tall, and that was Neela. That was Sridhidi's daughter. Yeah. And that's in the circle right out here, the circle as you go out the... You haven't made your point. You haven't made your point. Don't worry. Anyway, if you go out the two circles right as you're going out the center door here, the circle right on the right has a big tall tree that looks a little like a pine tree. It's not. It's a redwood. Neela planted 100 years ago. Go ahead. All right. Now, what are you saying?
Well, they're not just our dopey kids.
Right. That's what I was trying to say.
There's, you know, not that we're dopey parents, but, you know.
Put it close, Dima. Please.
It's like we're all jivas, and they got a long relationship with Krishna.
Yes.
And Krishna's making arrangements for all of us.
Yes.
So maybe part of their journey is we get to torture them, you know, but you know, in a Krishna conscious way. But
we get to torture them. That's what he said.
But
in a Krishna conscious way.
You know, but they got this relationship with Krishna, and they're making the arrangements, and we're just here to help do some service to help these jivas.
Yes.
Along.
Yes.
You know.
Very sagaciously spoken.
Yeah, so it's really not our fault that they're dopey kids. We're just
Help
them.
That's the ultimate thing. Okay, on that kind note, Hare Krishna, glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol.